I was standing there singing and got distracted by my last week's message and what God spoke to us about last week. And I'm just curious, you know, how many of us actually, while we were singing that song, can't get this on there. Well, I'll put it in my pocket, all right. I'm not itching. I'm trying to hook my thing back up, all right. I was trying to literally picture standing before God. I was thinking I wouldn't want to have the job of being the worship director in heaven. What in the world songs would you pick? I think that would be one of the songs that for sure we would pick. And then I pictured standing there before God and singing to Him, not for His benefit, but just to bring glory to His name, how great is our God. And just, we will understand it then fully. It'll just be, and we're going to even understand more as eternity goes on. And I think we're going to, and then right towards the end, Justin got real quiet, you know, and it just went down real quiet. And it was like, I just pictured us all just dropping to our knees at that point. And really, just from our hearts, praising God, how great is our God. Just an amazing thing. Just thank you for doing that. And thanks for filling in for Abby. She's flew to Colorado with her mom and her two children last week to be with her sister and family things and all that. And they left Bob being a bachelor at home. So he just lazed around and did nothing. I don't think he sat down even once. But all them jobs that he said, he just wants his wife to come home and say, oh, look at all you've done. And oh, look at that. And oh, look at that. It was awesome. That's a good feeling when they do that. Yeah. So I hope she does. I'm going to write her and tell her, make sure. I came in this morning and turned the air conditioner down a little bit, so it's going to be different than your program on there. And if anybody complains about being cold, I'm not even going to listen to you, okay? Because everyone's complaining about how hot it is, all right? Yesterday afternoon, I had to do an outside wedding and an outside reception all afternoon. It was like, I sweated so much. It was unbelievable. I was soaking wet, so much so that my wife pointed out to me that it looked like I peed my pants because the water was all running down there. And it was like, then I felt really awkward for the rest of the reception, you know? It was like, ay, ay, ay. So anyway, it was really hot. And I felt she has a way of pointing out some really unique things. And I appreciate it. I didn't appreciate it, but anyway, so that's beside the point. So don't be complaining about it being cold in here. It's a great day. I was, question for you, and it's great. How great is our God? How big is our God? How great is our God? Just give me some adjectives. That's the right word, right? You school teachers? Yeah. Give me some word. Answer that question. How great is our God? What? Immeasurably great.
Undescribable.
Undescribably great.
Endless.
Endlessly great.
Really?
That was probably Justin. I don't know who that was, but it was probably Justin. Really? Any other adjectives?
Awesome.
Adverbs, I don't know. Awesome. Faithful. How big is our God? How big, really, fits on that one too. How big is our God? Any other words to describe that? Just from your knowledge or from your own thinking or what?
Fast.
What?
Fast.
Fast. Oh, vast. I'm thinking fast. He would be fast too. He actually would be pretty slow because he's everywhere at the same time anyway, so he doesn't even have to. Like, okay. Vast. He's like vast. What'd you say?
Humongous.
All powerful. Great words. I wanted to ask you how big God is because we're going to be talking about God a little bit today, and I want to read you a couple verses about how big God is. And some of these verses, I'll tell you, they're just unique to me. I love the way they describe God. Jeremiah 23:23-24. God says, am I only a God nearby? Okay, obviously the answer is no. But he says, am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away?
Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, declares the Lord? Do I not fill the heaven and the earth, declares the Lord? Now that's pretty big, and that's that he fills the heavens and the earth. I mean, all of the heavens, even the parts that we haven't even, our telescopes hasn't even seen yet, that the light hasn't even got to us yet. He's that big. I fill the heavens, I fill the earth. And just while we're going over this, God is that big, and he knows you. He knows you. He knows me. Now think about that for a second. That he knows you. A long time ago, I was in Las Vegas. I wasn't a pastor then, so I was allowed. But a friend of mine and I went to around the United States in a motorcycle. And we stopped in Las Vegas, and they give you like free breakfast. They used to give you free breakfast. So we spent 3 days there eating breakfast the whole time. And Dennis McLeod, I don't know if any of you remember him. I forget the show that he was on. Anyway, but he was famous anyway. He's probably dead now, but he's famous. And we were sitting there eating breakfast, and Dennis McLeod walked into this Las Vegas Dennis Weaver. That's who I'm thinking of. Yeah, McLeod was the show, right. I knew him really well. But the really cool thing about it was he walked into this, and when he walked in, everybody looked, and he looked right at me and waved. And I'm like, he didn't know me. I mean, he's too big to know me, but God is not too big to know me. He is humongous. He is a great God, and he knows me. You can't hide from God. I felt honored when he waved at me. That was stupid, okay? I felt honored like he knew. But God, if he walked in there, he would have waved to me. He knows me. Listen to this, Psalm 139, 1 to 10. This is so cool. And this goes so much with the things Tammy said this morning. Psalm 139, 1 to 10. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. I mean, that's somebody knows you. This is better than your spouse knows you. This is almost better than I know me. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. And listen to this. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. I'd like that. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand on me. Now, understand that as a Christ follower, when you are in the midst of all kinds of stuff, That reminds me of the Secret Service around a president or something. They're in front of them, they're behind them, and one of them's got the hand on the shoulder guiding them through there. God says, you hem me in. You're behind me. You're before me. And you lay your hand on me, and God is guiding us. He knows us so much, and he is not only knows us, he's with us. You hem me in and behind and before, you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, or too non-understandable for me, too lofty for me to obtain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Obviously, you can't. If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn and get up real early, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. That is just, I love those descriptions of God. That should make us as believers in Christ feel very secure when we're in those tough times, when we're going through the cancer, when we're going through the sickness and diseases, to understand as a believer in Christ, God is hemming you in from behind. He's in front of you. He's got his hand on your shoulder. He is leading you. He is there. And we know this by faith in what God says about himself. He is there. He knows us. And he's not just knows us, he's there. God, the I Am, Jehovah, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That God, our God, is a God that's near us. And he hears our prayers. It's just amazing to me that God is that he's that he's that big, but he is so intimate with us. More than we even know ourselves, God is there. And we've been talking about prayer and about being able to communicate with that God and talk to that God. And I want to keep on here for about another 2 weeks or so. But one thing we know about God, he wants us to talk to him. He desires us to reach out to him, to call out to him, Psalm 50 says. He desires our communication with him. And we talked last week, he desires us to want to speak to him, and our desire in prayer should be that he hears us. That should be our main goal in our praying, that he hears us. God, he does listen to us. He does hear us. And to know that you are standing in the God's presence as a believer in Jesus Christ, and he hears you. God wants us to hear. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to call out to him. And so I want to look at two and a half things this morning. Okay, for 2 weeks from now, after the baptism, or next week if the baptism isn't going to happen, I want to talk to three ways for sure, and three situations where God desires us, really desires us to call out to him and to talk to him. And I think it's just really cool. See if you can guess what the first one is. Isaiah 55, 6 to 7. Try to figure out, and it might even be written in there, but in the bulletin, but don't look, don't peek. Anyway, Isaiah 55, 6 to 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to God, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. What is the first way that God wants us to call on him? What is the first thing he wants us to talk to him about and call on his name for? Salvation. God desperately desires us to be saved. Now, that's not a church word, although the church uses that, or we use born again or Christ follower or something like that. The problem is every single one of us was born separated from God. And it wasn't Adam and Eve's fault. It was our fault. We were born separated because sin entered the world, but we chose to follow that evil desire. We chose to sin, and we are born separated from God because of that sin nature. And God can't allow sin into heaven, so we can't get there. He can't allow it. Just sin can't exist in God's presence. So every one of us is born separated from God because of our sin nature. And we are highly encouraged to call out to God when we are without him. It's kind of like, remember the go against the flow thing a couple months ago? And, you know, we're, as believers, we're just going with the world. We're born in sin and we're just going that way. We're living according to our own desires or whatever we think's best. There's a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads in death. And we're just all floating along. And all of a sudden, God gets a hold of us and we stop in the middle of that flow. And we say, God, I hear you and I believe that you died for me. We're saved, okay? We say, God, you died for my sins. I can't make them right no matter how. And we're standing in the middle of that stream. And now the next thing we're called to walk upstream. Well, we are, whoa, I keep tripping over these things. Must be these sneakers. Alex Lapp gave them to me. See here? No, he'll be here next service, yes. When I did his wedding, he gave me sneakers to match everybody else's, and I still trip over them. Anyway, that's beside the point. Where was I? Oh, yeah. And we're floating down that stream, and God doesn't say, oh, you had a chance, and you're not saved, you know, and it's like, oh, I can't have sin in the world, so you just float down that stream. Listen to how much God cares. This is just an incredible verse. I read this verse before, but it just jumped out. Isaiah 65, 1 to 3. And what I want you to listen to this, I want you to listen to this from God's perspective, how much he cares about people, all right? And these are people that don't even know him, that don't even care about him at this point. These are people that are making fun of him, mocking him, ignoring him, or just living their life the way they want to. Listen to what he says. God says, I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call my name, I said, here I am, here I am. I just think that's so cool. To people that didn't even want to know God, to people that had no knowledge of God, God is standing on the side of that stream saying, here I am, here I am. I just think it's like God is pleading. It's like he might have known that at the end of that stream, there is a major waterfalls at the end of that stream. It leads to Niagara Falls. And he is running along the bank as we're floating down that stream saying, here I am, here I am. I came to seek lost people. Come. Here I am. Listen to what he says. Here I am, here I am. All day long I've held out my hands to an obstinate people who walk in ways not good, pursuing their own imaginations, a people who continually provoke me to my very face, offering sacrifices in gardens and burning incense on altars of brick and to idols and things like that he's talking about. So he says, all day long, I'm calling out to these people running beside that flow of humanity saying, here I am, here I am, reaching out, take my hand. There's danger that way. Why in the world would God do that? He is the I am, the great I am. He is the one we will bow down and worship. He is everywhere. And yet he looks at people going down that stream that are rejecting God on purpose or not even on, they're just not, and some people, they're just being nasty to his face. And he's running along that stream of humanity saying, here I am, here I, can you picture God doing that? Here I am, reaching out to people that go to church that don't know him, to people that don't go to church that don't know him, to people that worship other gods in Islam or Buddhism or no God, to people that are all about themselves, city people and country people. He's running along that stream saying, call, I just love that picture of God.
And you should too. Do you? Yes, thank you.
Okay. It's just, and he's that big of a God,
but he's that intimate with his people. It's just, I can't quite understand that, okay? I don't understand it. I just believe that that's what God's like, because that's what the Bible describes him all through the scriptures. And God knows that at the end of that stream is death. And God is all about rescuing people. We call it saved. He's about rescuing people. And he's calling out. There's trouble. And there's problems. There's problems back there. Okay, all moms to the nursery. Michael, shut that door back there because there's no one standing out there, would you please? Thank you. And so, God, I just want to stop and think how amazing that is. That you mean that much to God, that this, he was standing along that bank, running beside you, waving at you, here I am, here I am. Proverbs 6:25, there's a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. God knows that. We don't all know that. We think if we do the right things, we might get to heaven. If I'm better than this person or that person, and I'm better than a lot of pastors I've seen, I've been better than a lot of elders and deacons I've seen, but, so if I'm better than them, I got to be doing pretty good, and we're judging ourselves by how good we are and what we do and what we look like. And some people don't care about God. But there's a way, and some people don't even believe in God. And every single person has a chance to accept Christ. They hear God. They see him. But they're too comfortable floating down, and all their friends are gone with them. I had a guy tell me one time after I got done teaching, a teenage man, that said,
I'm looking forward to going to hell because all my friends are going to be there. Literally, that was his comment. I just think he had enough courage to say what a lot of people think. It's just incredible to me that God sees us. Luke 19:10. And so God became a man. Why did he become a man? Because all the prophets were speaking about God and people were still turning to him. So he became a man. This was part of his plan. He had to become a man to die for us and take our sins. But look what Luke 19:10 says. For the Son of Man, that's what Jesus called himself. He was God. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost people. That's what he came for. He did not come to feed people, although he did some of that. He did not come to heal people, although he did some of that. He came to seek and to save the lost. And that fits right in with him saying, here I am, here I am. Literally, he put on skin so they wouldn't be afraid of him. Here I am. So I could live and experience what they experienced without sinning. So I could speak to them in their own language. Here I am, here I am. I'm reaching out to you. And he came for every person. Every person. Romans 10, 12 to 13. He didn't just come for the Jewish nation. He did not just come for rich people and nice people. Romans 10, 12 to 13, Paul says, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's an awesome verse. Doesn't matter what side of town you live on. Even us people live in Rock. And then the people that live in Lebanon County and Burks County, some of you guys. God even likes you guys. Sorry. There's no difference. Every single person is lost. Now, I know most of you know this, okay? But this is so important to not forget this, because I tend to forget these things. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Just so you know, this is interesting. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. This is a promise from God. Can God lie? God cannot lie. Well, what if you were really messed up? What if you were really bad? He can really save you. What if you were like Jeffrey Dahmer? God can really save him if he calls on the name of the Lord. You cannot sin enough that God can go back on his promise. What's it say? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now understand that calling on the name of the Lord is God, I need you. You are God. I believe who you say you are. It's not just, hey God, if you're up there, I'm calling. No, it's God, I need you. I just want you to understand this is a promise. Acts 2:21 says it again. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. A promise. God cannot not keep his promise. Yes, God cannot not keep his promise. He is God. He cannot lie. John 5:24, verily, verily, truthfully, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. The moment that you get to the point where you say, God, I'm floating downstream, I've been trying everything, nothing's happened. God, and God's saying, here I am, take my hand. And you call on God in that kind of setting, God, and you reach out and you take his hand and you say, God, I need you. That second, Before you even get pulled to shore, the Bible says you have crossed over from death to life. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he died for every single person's sin in the world. And the only thing he asked in return is believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to put your feet down and stand and say, oh, I'll try, God. I'll do my best and I'll start going to church and I got to clean up my act. I know there's a lot of sin in my life. I got to clean up my act before God would accept me. No!
I can say it louder if you'd like me to. Sorry, I get like excited about this. My voice raises. Very truly, Jesus says, God himself, whoever hears my word or my calling and believes him who sent me, believes in God, has eternal life and will not be judged according to their salvation or not, but has already crossed over from death to life. The moment you say God and you reach out to God, that moment, it's not about your words, it's not about your prayer. God looks at your heart. When you call out to God, that moment, you're born into God's family and your life completely changes because instantly, you're not going to head over that waterfall. You've already, see, the Bible describes that way the world goes as death. And standing in that stream and walking that direction where you repent and you turn around and you walk towards God, that's life. That moment you accept Christ as your Savior, you cross over from death to life. And who promises that? Ronnie, you raise your hand. Even Pastor Ronnie doesn't promise that. God does. God makes that promise to us. This is the most important call out that you can do to God. Because unless you take this step, unless you call out to God for salvation, you're still in death. And when you die, you will stand before God and be cast out of heaven because you refused his, here I am, here I am. And you looked at him and you said, nah, I don't need that. I don't want that. I don't believe that. It's too easy. And you die, God will say, I'm sorry, I wanted you in heaven. Well, how could a God of love cast people into the lake burning with sulfur? How could the God of love send people to hell? He doesn't. You choose to go there because he was running alongside you the whole time, saying, here I am, here I am. Take my hand, take my hand. If you ever try to rescue somebody and you reach down to take their hand and they don't take it, you throw them a life jacket and they say, oh, look, a life jacket, a life ring, look at it. And a God of love is going to weep because he's done everything he could to rescue every single person in this world. The most important call out that you can do. See, this is the only prayer of a non-believer that God has an obligation to hear. You understand, God hears the prayers of non-believers, probably. He knows everything. He understands what they're saying. But this is the only prayer that he has an obligation to hear and answer. And he promised he will answer it. And sometimes he answers prayers of unbelievers because he wants to work circumstances. But I'll tell you what, this is the only prayer, the prayer of salvation. If you're a non-believer, the only prayer that God will ever hear and have any obligation to answer is the prayer of God, I need you. I need saving. That's just amazing. You don't have to work for it. God doesn't say, okay, swim around in circles and prove that you can do the you know, American crawl and the backstroke and breaststroke and all that kind of stuff, and then I'll rescue you. God says, no works. For by grace, you know Ephesians 2, right? 8 and 9, for by grace you're saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not by works, because then we would all brag about it. I did this and I did that. You are saved because God is so gracious that even though I was a sinner, no matter how deep in sin or how little sin I did, because I was a sinner, God loved me, and he offers this to everyone. He makes a promise that anyone who calls out to him, anyone who calls out to him will be saved. No work, by faith only. This is a promise of salvation. This is a promise. I'm saying that word promise because we're going to compare that to a covenant a little bit later. This is a promise of God. You have to do nothing. God just promises. If you believe
I will save you. Anyone, everyone who believes. And it's not worked for. That's one call out to God. That's the most important call out to God in your prayer. Question is, have you done that? Have you done that? Understand, it's not about coming to church. It's not about being good. It's not about just because you said prayers to God and said words to God. Have you, from your heart, recognize God calling out to you and say, God, I trust you. I believe you. Because if you have not done that, it doesn't pay you to listen to any of the rest of this service. So one of the things I'd really like you to do, I'd like you to think about for the next couple minutes is, have you been saved? Have you been rescued by reaching out and taking the hand of God? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you? Not that he died on the cross. Even Satan and the demons believe that he died. But do you believe that he did it for you? And if you and he's handing you the gift of salvation. You're going down the stream. You're going to die. You're already in death and you're headed towards death. Take this gift. Have you accepted the gift of forgiveness for your sins? And if so, you've crossed over to life. But we need to stop once in a while. I don't know if I do this often enough, but to ask you to your face, have you done that first call out to God? God, I need you. I believe you. I would just say, please, that is the first step. And that is the most important step. And no matter how much you prayed to God, no matter how much he looked like he answered your prayers, this is the prayer that starts an entire relationship with God. And for the rest of your life now, it's not about salvation, it's about relationship. So I want to make sure. And if you do that, there's a verse that I want you to think about it. It's in Romans 10:9, right down towards the end. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I just want to say again what Bob talked about, baptism. Baptism is a declaring with your mouth, an action. And if you are this morning sitting here thinking, I'm not sure if I ever called out to God with that prayer or not. I'm not sure if I ever called out to God. I've kind of been around church all my life. I've been religious all my life, but I'm not sure if I called out to God yet. And today, either right now or at the end of the service, in your heart you're saying, you're calling out to God, you're reaching out and saying, God, I believe you. I would just encourage you to do one thing. If you do that, now declare it with your mouth. Tell somebody. Tell me, tell the person that you're with. Don't be ashamed of it. It's awesome. Declaring with your mouth. It's by believing in his heart that a man becomes right with God. And it's with his mouth he tells others of his faith, confirming his salvation. It's you're saved when you reach out to God in your heart. But tell somebody. And that's what's going to happen at baptism. We're going to have people tell us that they were saved and when they were saved. And then they're going to show us. Today would be a great day to be saved, I'm telling you what. We can be baptized next week, you know. But it'd be a great day to be saved, to be born in. What day isn't a good day to be born into God's family? But just understand that that is the call out to God that he is searching for. He came only to seek and to save the lost. That's what he is about. He is such a big God, but he's so intimate. He's watching you go down that stream. And he's saying, here I am. Here I am. Please don't pass that by, I'm telling you.
Please make sure of that before you leave. There's another thing, the second thing that God wants us to call out to him about, okay? Another thing God wants us to call about. Another time God wants us to call out to him is, now as a believer, understand this. Once you accept Christ and stop in the middle of that stream, you know what's going to happen, right? The stream is going to push against you, and you're going to have to lean into it, and you'll get tired, and you're going to stumble on some of the rocks getting to shore. And now God says, now I want you to repent, stop going that way. Now I want you to walk towards me. And it is really hard. Some of you trout fishermen know it is really, really hard walking upstream. It's hard standing still sometimes. But now you're walking upstream. You're going against the flow. And as a believer, under the salvation promise of God, and you have access to God, you're going to have trouble. And so, well, here's where God wants, and I'll just go here. Let me read this, James 5, 13 to 16. Here's other times God wants us to call out to him. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. All right? When you're in trouble, God would like to hear from you. Okay? Now, stop and think here. God always, so many times, talks about himself as the Heavenly Father. The Heavenly Father. Our Father. The Heavenly Father. So I think you can put God in how, a lot of times, how a parent should react to things. Now, if you were a father and your children were in trouble, a good father wouldn't say, hey, don't tell me about your problems, okay? Unless they get in the same one over and over and over and over again. We'll talk about that in 2 weeks. But right now, when your kid has trouble, you as a parent want to hear about it. I can't bother my mom and dad with this trouble, you know? No. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Talk to God about it. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise, okay? If anyone happy, if you're in trouble, talk to God. If you're happy, praise God. Most of you parents would love when your children come home and said, ah, you'd like if your husband came home and did that, you know, when he was happy. Would just come home and say, I'm so happy today. I'm happy, 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 okay? We would love that when our kids did that, you know? God is that, he wants us to go to him when you're happy. Go to God and say, God, I'm happy. God, you did an awesome thing. It is awesome. And you know what? You certainly heard Tammy sharing those praises about God today. It was just, anyone's happy, let them praise God. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church and pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. As a believer in Christ, someone who accepted that gift of salvation, you're under the promise of God that he will never leave you, never forsake you, ever, 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 ever. Your prayer is powerful and it's effective because now God listens to all your prayers. He hears your prayer. When you're happy, when you're in trouble, when you're sick. Oh, another one that talks about how another thing God likes, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's the second. They are the second thing God wants us to pray. Like everything, okay? It's like he wants us to call out to him in everything, okay? The same way you want to know people as you're getting to know them, as you're dating them, as you're engaged to them, as you're married to them, as you raise them. You really want to know all kinds of stuff. God desires. He's behind you, before you, got your hand on his shoulder. He's everywhere around you. He's leading you through the valley of the shadow of death. He's leading you. He wants to know. He wants to communicate with you. You're in a relationship now where you can walk boldly before the throne of God and have a relationship with this God that is everywhere and really big. That's just, I forget this sometimes. I forget how much God cares about us, cares about me. So the second one is very simple. Other times God wants us to call out to him all the time, in all kinds of circumstances, the same way a good parent would want their child to speak to them. And sometimes they speak too much. I'm not looking at you, Christy. Sorry. No, he wants to know us.
He wants to know all kinds of things about us. But the half a thing I want to talk about today is the third one. The third one. And it's a good thing we're only talking, I may have to talk about a quarter of it. What I want to talk to you about today for the next, 5 minutes is calling out to God when you're in trouble. I think this is probably one of the more common things that people call out to God when they're in trouble. Because we talked about this before, when things are going good, our prayers are more routine, and that's why I said we really need it. And some of you guys were saying, I've been really thinking about my prayers at dinner. I've really been thinking about my prayers. It feels weird, but it puts me in a whole different spirit. Like when you're singing, like we talked about last week, to picture yourself before God. Close your eyes, picture yourself before God. Well, one thing, God, he wants us to call out to him when we're in trouble. John 16:33, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Now I want you to talk, I want to talk to you about, there's a people that think that you know, praying to God, and you know, a lot of times the Bible, David says, you know, I'll run to the tower of refuge and all this kind of stuff. It's like, whenever I have trouble, I'm going to run away from it, and I'm going to run and hide in God. Ooh, please help me, please help me. We're going to have trouble in this world. And God wants us to come to him. He wants to hear about our trouble. I don't think it's a sign of weakness. I think it's a sign of trust in God. I don't think I'm a weak person. I think I trust in God. And I think you men are not weak. And somehow the world has convinced us the running to God when we have trouble is weakness. And I think it's trust and faith. When the first thing we do is run to God, not as like, ew, I'm scared, but as God, I need your help, because this is, and in this world, you're going to have trouble. And having trouble is not a sign of weakness. It's inevitable. You are going to have trouble in this world, God says. Don't say, oh, I thought I was a Christian. I thought everything was going to be fine. You're going to have trouble in this world. You're going to have trouble. It's inevitable. And you know what? You're also going to have trouble because we don't all trust God perfectly. God says something, and we say, yeah, I'm not sure if I believe that. I don't know if I, you know, it's like, that doesn't seem right. That seems like impossible for, yeah. And we don't all trust God perfectly. We're called to grow in our trust. By trusting God in the small things, and then we grow and trust him more. We're growing in our relationship with God, growing to trust him more. So some of us, and sometimes, I just don't trust God. I would say I do, and I would sing songs that I do, but really when it comes down to acting out what God has told me in his word, when God asked me to obey him, a lot of times, I never just say, no, God, I won't obey you. But I just kind of think it. And I just kind of act. I might say I obey you with my words, but I just act like I don't with my actions. Well, obviously that proves that I don't trust them. So because we're humans and still have that old nature, we're going to have trouble because of that sinful nature. So sometimes we're going to have trouble because we're going upstream, and the world is our world, our United States, who used to encourage walking upstream, who is founded on walking upstream, is now making fun of us and pushing us downstream, telling us to be quiet, shut up, don't share the truth of the scriptures, and the world is compromising, and churches are compromising. We are going to have trouble when we're walking upstream. Just because we're men and women of God, and because we still believe the Bible is the word of God, all of it, we're going to have trouble walking upstream. And then put that up against the fact that you still have an evil nature, and you're just nasty in your hearts. Me, we're going to have trouble in this world. So God says in Psalm 50:15, and call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me. Watch what I'm doing. Flipping one page. Flipping two pages, I'm at the end, and it's about the right time. Here's what I want to ask you as you're getting up off the floor from having that heart attack.
I want to read 1 Peter 3:10-12 to you. 1 Peter 3:10-12. Just before I read that, I am so anxious to go on and teach about this third call out to God, the I'm in trouble God, because I think there's a lot of people that are walking upstream. I think there's a lot of Christ followers that have called out and received the promise of God, that promise of salvation, that the moment you believe in him, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance in heaven. I think there's a lot of church people, a lot of Christ followers, that we get in trouble in this world. Now, that verse seems to imply, if you're in trouble and you call on me, I'll deliver you. And so we call on God in whatever troubles. And I'll bet there's people here that say, well, I've called on God quite a few times in my life, and I haven't been delivered from my troubles. And that's a really good question to ask. So either next week, if it's rainy, or the week after that, we're going to look at why, if the Bible says, call on me, and I will rescue you. And when you call on God as a believer and you don't, he doesn't rescue you. We're going to really tear that apart and look at it. I am so anxious to get there. But we need to have the foundation of the fact that first, he's talking to believers during that. He's not talking to someone that never called out for salvation. He never promises to rescue people that aren't his children. You would if you saw a kid out in the street or something, but you're more concerned about your own children. God's concerned about everybody. And we'll talk about those things, but you say I'm a Christ follower, but so many times I call out to God for rescue, but nothing happens. What am I doing wrong? Am I doing something wrong? Why doesn't he deliver me? Do I not have enough faith? I'm looking for that, but I would like to leave 1 Peter 3:10-12. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil, their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are attentive to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. The last two sentences in that, God's eyes are on and his ears are attentive to his saved people. And I hate to say this, but the rest of the world that's in the stream going that way, what's it say? How does it say it? He's against those who do evil. Really, this morning, the whole point of this morning, I want you to be sure of the fact when you leave this building that you are either saved by Christ, or that you know for a fact that you're rejecting God. And then don't blame God for what's coming next, because he's running along saying, here I am, here I am. So just make sure of that, because that's the start. Because what we're talking about the next time has everything to do with people whose ears God is attentive to their prayers. And we're going to leave the people whose God faces against them, we're going to leave them in the stream next week. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? I'd like you to just close your eyes and think for a minute without looking at me, because you make me uncomfortable looking at me. Every one of us was floating down that stream. And do you remember calling out to God, God, save me? Do you remember hearing God offer salvation to you and you reached out and accepted it? If you remember that, that is awesome. And God promised salvation. He can't not save you. But if you're still out in that stream and you say, well, I don't believe this, you know what? It is totally your choice to do that. And you are still an awesome person, in my opinion, in God's opinion. You are still an awesome person. You're just lost in that stream. And there's danger, because there's the way that seems right, but in the end it leads to death instead of eternal life. So please make a choice this morning. Yes, I accept your forgiveness. I accept your rescue. Or, no, I don't. No, I don't. And I pray that right now, while your eyes are closed and you're thinking, you're hearing the Holy Spirit speak to you, that you choose wisely this morning. And right now, you just say to God, God, I hear you speaking to me. I don't know you. And I want to know you. I need rescued. Please save me. I believe you died for me. I believe you were buried and rose again for me. God, I don't even understand all this. But I believe the truth of your word. And when you do that, you reach out and you grasp God's hand. And he promises he will save you. Promises. If you say that to God, and if you mean that from your heart, please tell somebody. Just come up and tell me. I did it. Tell somebody. God, you're an amazing God. You are so big and so amazing and so awesome. I don't even understand hardly anything about you. How you could even do that. How you could love us being God. But you did. And you wrote us about it. You wrote us in detail about it. And all of history proves that you came to earth and you rose again because you loved me. We are not worthy, but it is by grace we have been saved through faith. It is not by works. We don't earn it. We don't impress you. It's by believing. God, please draw people to safety this morning. Thank you that you're an amazing God. In Jesus' name, amen. How great is our God? Pretty great. Pretty great. See you guys later. Thanks for coming. Enjoy the heat.